Welcome to Logo Matters. This is Margaret Williams, news editor, joined by our Green Scene, a.k.a. environmental reporter, Susan Andrew, who had an interesting adventure a week or so ago, went out to the Metropolitan Sewerage District headquarters facility, etc. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's where they treat our sewage. You know, most of us don't give much thought to when we wash things down the drain, when we flush the toilet, what happens next. But that water eventually goes back to the French Broad River. For many years, untreated wastewater flowed directly to area waterways. You know, the Clean Water Act tried to clean that up. Our treatment facility came online in 1967, and since then, things have been cleaned up considerably. Still, untreated wastewater discharges can create some big problems, as we've seen as recently as April 6th. A massive sewage spill in East Tennessee has killed two workers and sent millions of gallons of raw sewage into the Little Pigeon River.
Now, that sphere happened here, let's be clear. I mean, but the folks at the MSD are working very hard to take care of whatever we flush away.
That's right, and we flush a lot. It's not just our bodily waste, of course, but people use their toilets as a trash can for all kinds of things, everything from sanitary products to ballpoint pens to garbage of every shape, size, and description, which can cause clogs and ultimately result in the overflows that can create problems for raw sewage.
MSD had a booth at the recent home show at the Civic Center, and a guy who was manning the table said one of the top problems they have with clogging things up are those dryer sheets. The people apparently are flushing those down the drain.
That's right. I admit I'm part of the problem. The wet wipes that my kids got used to when they were very small are, you know, part of the problem in our sewer system. And it's grease. There's a big campaign that the MSD has organized around getting homeowners not to put grease down the drain because little balls of floating grease accumulate in the pipes and in the system, causing blockages that can cause these sewer overflows that have become a problem, actually less of a problem this year. Our sewer system overflowed 32 times last year, but that's down considerably from the 288 releases that were recorded in the year 2000.
And we often have problems, I understand, when there's a heavy rain event that overwhelms the system, including our stormwater runoff, as I recall.
Yes, but the dry weather releases can be problematic too because, of course, in a rainstorm, it's heavily diluted with all the rainwater flowing through the system. But in dry periods, what comes out, of course, is pure sewage. And the water streams and so on nearby are running at low levels, so the dilution factor isn't there during dry weather releases.
Well, in your print story, you've got quite a few details of what they do with all that stuff that comes there, down their way. But you also worked for us on the Earth Day. We have some Earth Day events coming up, and the MSD story was part of our ongoing environmental coverage. But there are also some things happening for Earth Day around Asheville.
Yep, there's something for everybody really happening for several weeks running. Lots of organizations putting on events that happen over a period of time, so check your dates. I guess the big one is the event that happened last year at MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. Park, has been moved to City County Plaza. It's going to be bigger and better with stages and performance art of all kinds, lots of activities for the kids. It's really a whole family event going on all day,
April 16th, the Saturday, April 16th. And full disclosure, Mountain Express is one of the sponsors of that event. We have lots of bands and things, and we got all the details for that. There are a few other events happening around, like Riverlink's got some things going on with rain barrels and some other activities. Eco down in Hendersonville has an event a little later in the month. It's about Earth Day. Am I leaving anything out? Is there some other Earth Day things happening?
Well, we've hit the big ones. There are some events held at local schools, which are not open to the public, but are really interesting that they get the kids involved in hands-on, experiential, green activities to teach them about how to be better stewards of the planet.
Right. We got a few emails from the folks at Evergreen Charter School and from Dixon Elementary. They both are up to a lot of green things in for the season. Well, stay tuned for Mountain Express to check out what those events are and what you can do to both go have some fun and get involved with environmental issues and be careful what you flush, I guess is the message.
Because there's always somebody downstream.
Well, so thank you, Susan. Until next time.
Yep.
Join me now in the MX Radio studios is senior news reporter David Forbes, who's been keeping up with what's happening with the Asheville Police Department's evidence room.
Yes, this has been major, major news this week. It is late Wednesday. Word came out that SBI, the State Bureau of Investigation, which oversees the police department's internal conduct and a number of other criminal matters, had sealed off the Asheville Police Department's evidence room. And what kind of emerged after that is an interesting story. And on Friday, April 1st, the defense attorney and assistant district attorney went, according to the district attorney's office, to get some drug evidence, some oxycodone tablets that had been taken from a suspect in a criminal.
Several hundred oxycodone tablets.
397, to be exact. And they found these were in two bottles, and they were gone. Tissue paper had instead been someone had stuffed tissue paper in the bottles instead. Obviously, this is a very serious matter. The evidence room was sealed. A third-party audit will be conducted. They're still looking around for someone to conduct that. And interestingly also, no one is saying if this is definitely connected yet. The APD's longtime property room manager was placed under investigative suspension in January. Don't say for what reasons why, but personnel files from the city do reveal he was placed under investigative suspension. And then he resigned in February.
But again, we don't know if that's connected, but it does seem to be coincidental at least.
We do not know if that's connected, but that is certainly does place some context on this, because when the very few people have full access to the evidence room, and he was one of them, when news emerged that he had resigned, the district attorney, Ron Moore, claims that he called for a full audit of the evidence room. The police department then did a random audit, which he says revealed some areas of concern, and he was apparently not notified of these. Again, this is according to him. The police department, meanwhile, claims they began an internal investigation and then notified the DA and the SBI. To come assist them once these issues had emerged. So there is, of course, this is a huge controversy. It affects potentially, I think there are a couple thousand felony cases involving
cases,
the APD.
Cases are on hold and the room is sealed for the moment.
The room is sealed. As far as the cases are on hold, the district attorney told us on Friday, he said, you know, we're still figuring out how many cases this will affect, but there are a couple thousand felony cases involving the APD.
We'll stay tuned to how that evolves in the next few days. Meanwhile, Saturday, April 9th, the local Buncombe County Democrats are going to elect a chair, and that
yes.
race has been people dropping in and out, and who's
still ever-changing cornucopia of candidates, practically.
Not that many.
Well, no, not that many. First, news emerged of a pretty interesting race when Asheville City Councilmember Cecil Bothwell said that he was going to run for the seat, Democratic Party chair. Usually elected officials don't hold party chair positions, where the rules prevent a partisan elected official from doing so. But Asheville City Council members are typically nonpartisan. So Cecil was running for this. He was, you know, he has a certain constituency and a following among local progressives. And he claimed that he wanted to revitalize party politics. He wanted to have a more progressive platform. And against him was going to be Lindsay Simmerly, who has become fairly well known as an organizer. And she currently works as director of field and outreach for Representative Heath Shuler's campaign. And he praised her work when he won a fairly overwhelming victory in a Republican
district.
But both
Simmerly and Bothwell have since dropped out.
Bothwell first said he was going to drop out to run in a primary in 2012, which would mean he couldn't serve as chair if he's running in a primary.
To run against Heath Shuler, he announced that also recently.
That's actually where it went. He first just said he was running in a party primary. Then he said he was running against Heath Shuler as an independent. So that obviously takes him out of the equation. Similarly, recently said that she felt that if it was a primary challenger to Shuler, she would not be able to occupy the spot as party chair, so she dropped out. As local activist Brent Millen, who's written on a number of topics around town.
He's a local management consultant.
He is a local management consultant as well. He's mostly known around town for his writings and his activism work. And he for a while was one of the only competitors left.
Well, there's someone else has been running. There's another name that's in the race or not?
Well, and that was actually kind of interesting. After Simmerly, and it was clear that Simmerly and Botha were not running, and Millen still was running, former chair Kathy Sinclair floated around the idea that she was going to run, but apparently encountered some opposition and eventually decided to back out as well.
She was chair before the current Charles Carter is the
she
current
was,
chair?
She was, yes. Charles Carter is the current chair. And all this was sparked by Carter, and also is the owner of Mountain Java, saying that he was not going to run this time. Local attorney Emmett Carney announced recently that he would be running. And this has been interesting because a lot of the discussion and these revelations have come out on the on the Scrutiny Hooligans blog, or through emails between party officials, some of which we've been able to obtain. And I mean, it's definitely been kind of a up and down kind of roller coaster ride. Asheville City Councilmember Gordon Smith, who founded and still runs the Scrutiny Hooligans blog, has pretty loudly voiced his support for Carney as a kind of a consensus candidate at this point. But there have been plenty of developments so far, and we'll see where it goes.
Well, stay tuned for further reports on the results of that election, and that wraps it up for Local Matters. Thank you.